Folks, welcome back to the show where we don't collect locations, we collect receipts. It is Train Wreck Rules, and we had a Kiss Kiss Revenge bang of an episode tonight, brought to you by Picasso's Pizza. And it's not the magic dust of a great Picasso's sheet pizza that has me fired up. It is this Vanderpump episode. Quinster started slow, but ended fast as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it did. And we were talking offline a little bit here. I had a tough time picking our power rankings for five because this group is full of the worst humans that you could possibly assemble. So great Vanderpump stuff, though.
Great Vanderpump stuff. I will get right into it. Now, typically on these Trainwreck Rules episodes, we go through the episode directly. I'm going to kind of make a little bit of a change this week. We're going to go character by character. As okay. They were in the episode. And then we'll kind of get up to our end where we'll go poo-poo head of the night, score rating, and our top five power rankings. But let's start with our top guy from this season, guy who kicks off the episode, James. First off, everyone's invited to James' parties. Love that evolution because throughout Vanderpump, and even in this episode, you've seen social exclusivity, bullying, etc. be a major storyline. Our top guy, he's not going to have any of it, Aaron.
Yeah, he's all done with it. I think he's open to everybody and just trying to live his life. And that's good for James, man. He's still killing it.
He's killing it. Unfortunately, Hippie was getting a little humpy in that segment as well. But then we have the middle of the episode. We got the sandwich tasting and something about her, which is ripping a hole in everyone's pockets, by the way. When James instantly creates a top 10 Vanderpump comedy movement with Schwartz. Was Schwartz going? What was the quote?
He was talking about wanting a savory hungover sandwich.
We know Schwartz wants a manwich because we know how much Schwartz loves a sloppy Joe. And the table's reaction was unbelievable.
Oh, dude, they almost needed the drummer in the background. Just give it. That was honestly, it shot him. It skyrocketed him. Spoiler alert in my power rankings tonight. It was quiet for him. The last couple episodes have been kind of quiet for him. And that zinger right there. And then he followed it up with talking about how long it's taking for the sandwich shop to open. He's like, they're no different than Tweedledee and Tweedledee. And it was hilarious. So
amazing by James there for sure. Yeah. So then he's got his gig, obviously. Great stuff there. And then, he's got another segment where he's with Sandoval, Lala, and Schwartz. When that segment happened, when it was the Tom, Lala, and James together, I was like, this feels like the most Vanderpump, like truly. And I know we've had a couple episodes this season that it felt this way. This feels like the most returned Vanderpump I'd felt in a while since it was so much Scandoval, so much of that redemption storyline early in the year.
Yeah, and that's a weird arc, too, that we'll get to when we get to Lala and or Scandoval here. But those two kind of like linking up for a friendship kind of threw me off guard. But yeah, no, not much from James in that scene, but just good to see him as our number one guy still.
So it was obviously a big episode for James. We'll get to him in our power rankings. But then we go back to the beginning. A big episode for Schwartz as well. First off, starts off the episode by announcing a 3-day sober binge. Big humble brag there.
Yeah, and I love his Lala didn't love it as much, but his some days I love to go hard into being sober, and then sometimes I just want to go off the rails. But he's in the middle of having a conversation about you need moderation, but then he's like having these huge swings. It's such a Schwartz thing that he can't settle on one thing. He's got to have everything all at once.
Schwartz had that childlike innocence back in his eyes this episode, whether it was talking with Lala about that. Or obviously later, they're talking. It's actually, so that's with Lala at the beginning of the episode. Then in the middle of the episode, we have another hilarious moment. Schwartz just goes, I haven't had sex with you, Lala, yet, which, by the way, is hilarious. Like they've been working together for 8 or 9 seasons on a show where everyone has sex with everyone. So clearly they're not going to ever have sex. But says, Schwartz, I would break your dick in half.
In front of the waiter.
And then the waiter comes over and they apologize. But the waiter actually, did you hear what he said?
I didn't hear it.
He goes, oh, sorry, you had to hear that. He goes, don't say sorry to me. I'm jealous. That's literally what he said. I was like, oh my God, that was one of the funniest interactions I've ever seen.
Schwartz actually made a couple comments. He's the kind of guy though that like throws out those softball like jokes, but would. You know, like if he had the
100%
would. He's feeling it out.
Yes. That's why he threw the yet, of course. But speaking of yet and speaking of having some sex, we got a major player in this episode and almost a main character in the middle of the season, I would say, Joe, back in the swing of things. We got Schwartz kind of mingling with her. So funny that Schwartz tells Lala about the makeout 12 years ago. And then literally in the next scene, Lala's going to Katie and she goes, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You were losing your brain there, weren't you?
Yeah. Lala's killing me this episode, man. Just like stirring the pot and just causing the drama. It's almost like the producers were like, hey, get in there. Like, go get
this show. This episode, like you said, really unleashed the villains, really the terrible aspect of everyone's, not everyone, I guess, because like you look at James, you look at Schwartz, it didn't seem too much villainous from them, but
no,
the really bad side of a lot of people shown in this episode. Let's face it. That's what's put butts in the seats for Vanderpump Rules over the
last
time.
That's what we want. That's the hard thing. I got to come up with a power ranking, but I want them to be the worst versions of themselves. I want to not like them.
And then Schwartz finds out. So we haven't seen Max. And again, we'll talk more about length about Max a little bit later, but we haven't seen Max really in the show since he was in like one of them, like closer to the middle seasons. Right. Obviously. Right. I think like Dana was a woman in the show there as well. When they were kind of trying to do a new class, and I think it was season 6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah.
But again, feels like a long time ago at this point, obviously, but apparently they're best friends. Were you surprised by his reaction to like Katie had sex with your best friend? He kind of like, it almost, I guess when I think about it now, it was almost like shock because he really didn't have any reaction besides like a big wry smile, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And he was just like, Max?
Max?
Like,
did I say Max?
Yeah.
It was like in Mighty Ducks 3 when Conway passes it back to Goldberg and everyone is just like, Goldberg?
Wait, why him? Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, I think he knows. I think he's spot on. He said it was a revenge thing. So I think he's got that. I think for him, what was running through his brain, at least in my opinion, was like, man, Katie really went hard in the paint about like, you don't do it with like anyone else. We're in LA. Yeah. We're in Hollywood. You could go anywhere else. And then for her to pull that, it is, and Scandoval's right. Like, it is typical hypocrisy from Katie, like constant hypocrisy. Now, you know, they were given Schwartz a little bit of a hard time about the makeout thing, which I still don't know. I was talking with my wife a little bit about that, like, do I believe Sheena's side of that, or do I believe how Schwartz was talking to Lala? Like, I still don't know who to believe on that makeout session that happened. But now Katie doesn't have a foot to stand or leg to stand on with this, because now Schwartz has definitely got the upper hand in this, that she slept with his best friend. So
You bring up a good point, though. Like, who do you believe between Sheena and Schwartz as far as what happened? Sheena says that Schwartz, like, charged at her in a corner and tried to kiss her. Schwartz says they had a harmless makeout. I would say the truth is probably, the third source, somewhere in between that. But that's the thing also about time. The more time that occurs between when something happens, the more plausible deniability you have. And you could see that, you know, first off, when Katie was confronting Sheena about that, her eyes were popping out of her head. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I think Sheena was using some plausible deniability. I think her and Schwartz made out. But yeah, let's get to the main three, girls here. Like, three of the characters that have been along, Vanderpump the longest: Ariana, Katie, and Sheena. Because they were really a big factor for this episode. First off, you have Ariana poaching Anne. I don't care what she says; she's poaching Anne from Sandoval. That's blatant, right? Okay, big time poached egg.
Although. Wants it. Anne wants to be poached. She's looking to be safe.
Anne's like a wild animal being like, oh, don't poach me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh, don't, it would be terrible if you poached me. And I don't blame her. Let's face it. Sandoval to Ariana. As much as we give Ariana
big
shit
upgrade.
For how long this is going on, that's a big upgrade, especially at this status. But we going through them. And then we go to another segment. I hated this. I hate how they're bullying Joe. The only thing about the Joe thing to me, and it is a conundrum because everyone says she's kind of evil or whatever. But that was kind of how these girls framed Sheena in the early seasons. That was how they framed Lala in the early seasons. And as we've learned, there were more to those characters than one action, two actions.
I mean, Ariana came into the scene by cheating or Thomas cheating on Kristen, right? Like yes. They kind of all come into this group being terrible and everybody making fun of them.
Sheena was cheating with a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills character's husband, yep. who Lisa Vanderpump was in. So let's face it, that's how they. So it really just bothers me because it's like the more, you know, things change, the more they stay the same, or like history is doomed to repeat itself or whatever. Because these girls are doing the exact same thing that they did to Sheena. I mean, they should not be making this good guy. All I'm saying is maybe Joe is terrible and at some point she's going to reveal herself. But have we seen anything that indicates that Joe is not just like a happy-go-lucky along for the ride? I see the side evidence. I think Ariana was saying like she's at her house during Thanksgiving while that was going yes. on. And then the text to Katie Maloney after the divorce. But we also don't know what happened during those time frames, where her relationship was, you know, with Ariana during the Thanksgiving event. We don't know, you know, did Katie treat her like shit for the next couple of months after she sent that text? And then she's like, well, maybe I shouldn't worry about like, you know, that friend so much. I feel like there's yeah. just a lot of things that could have happened.
Well, and we got to remember she's ultimately friends with Tom first, right? So her entrance to the group was with Tom Schwartz. So her loyalty lies with Tom. And that's a weird position to be in with the trip with Raquel and the Toms and stuff like that. Like we don't know what the relationship with Ariana was. What obviously I can't trust anything associated with Katie and Tom and then anyone else that's around there, because Katie's got too much feeling associated to it. My take on it is Joe seems annoying and her personality is weird and it doesn't mesh with all the other personalities that great in the group. It meshes very well with Tom Schwartz. And so that's weird. That's a weird dynamic, but the bullying's too much. Like, even if I don't like her and I don't think she's a particularly good character, the way Sheena was going in on her, man, was just mean girl high school stuff. And we're talking about people that are in their 40s. Like, you don't have to bully a girl into not wearing her hat and just crap on her for the next 20 minutes. That's too far. I actually felt bad for her. It was the first time where I actually was like, man, I actually feel bad for this girl. She should just run away from this whole group. It's not worth it.
Which is what she was trying to do, obviously. So then we get to the final scene at TomTom, correct? We got people coming in. We got James DJing. And this is where you just had a trifecta of annoyingness from this group. You were talking about them being annoying. This will wrap up our episode recap. We'll get into the scores real quick. But you had, first off, Ariana's paying $6,000 for dog surgery. I think she got taken to the woodshed.
I think, do not go to that vet.
There's no way that you're telling me that surgery couldn't have been done for $2,500. So I have Ariana who's saying she needs the money. Like she was dead broke or whatever a year and a half ago. You get dead broke by overspending on things. As much as I love my dog, if a urgent care or anything said it was going to be $6,000, we would be in the car. We would be on to the next urgent care. It wouldn't even be a question. Whereas I think she just kind of blind listened to it, went with it. So she looks silly there. Then you have Schwartz walking over to the table. And Lisa's giving him a razzing about making out with Sheena. That was classic Vanderpump. That was
hysterical. I did love Ariana's, like, where Tom was like, oh, I'm out of here. She's like, oh, it gets hard and you're done. Like,
that was fair. That was fair.
She got him.
She did get him. But then we also have Katie saying, you fumbled the bag and now you got sloppy Joe. That was questionable before we even learned what was about to happen. And then
stealing
James's
line. Come on.
What did you think of this of this whole ending with Max having sex with Katie, and then the way that Brock? I mean, I'll jump in. The way that Brock brought this up to the table was an absolute nuke. He nuked that table.
Yeah, Brock's dope, dude. Brock's having a great season.
Oh, Brock is not only having a good season. We'll get to it, but this was an episode and a half for Brock. But the way he set that table. Katie Maloney was a deer in headlights, Aaron.
Yeah.
She had no idea what she needed about 20 seconds just to come up with like lies and like try to like get her way out of it. You saw her. She was crushed.
I thought she was like wasted when he hit her with that. It was just talk about fumbling the bag. She was not ready for that. And Lala looked like she was ready to pounce back to like reunion style Lala. Like, oh, no, you didn't, hypocrite. And Sheena, like, even Brock stood up to her. He stood up to her a few times now in this season.
Oh, Brock didn't give a fuck this episode.
Yeah, he was not.
Brock. Like, it was awesome.
Coming at him of like, you can't do that. He's like, shut up. This had to come out. This had to be said. So kudos to Brock. And it just set that. That was just a chef's kiss of Vanderpump. Everyone in the group is right there.
Yes.
Nobody knows about it. I'm going to drop it in front of everyone. You want to hear it? Because they kind of were like, what happened? He's like,
dude,
I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, no. He said what happened. And the great thing about it was there were like six different reactions. Ariana had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
Lala didn't even know who they were talking
about.
Katie Maloney was just like, Like, oh no, it was crazy. So
that one random dude that I don't even know his name was like trying to get Brock to stop. He's like, oh no.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yes, you're right. You said it was chef's kiss. It was quintessential Vanderpump Rules. So let's
talk about Sheena and the locations though. That's freaking weird,
Dude. Oh yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean that. The location collection is absolutely crazy.
That's psychopath.
I mean, let's face it. The Snapchat map was fun to see the first time. But, like, you know, it's a little creepy for sure. That's not even a question. That's not even a question.
My location is shared with zero people.
Terrible, terrible episode for Sheena, truthfully, I will say. She's a powerful personality, but this is a terrible episode for her. Show score, Aaron, this is my highest rated episode of the season. We are going with a flat 8. 8.0 for this episode. Well done, Vanderpump. We had drama from beginning to end, and we absolutely crescendoed at the end. We still, it's to be seen what happens, because we haven't even heard Max decide. We look like we're on the way for a Schwartz-Katie confrontation next week. But what'd you got?
Yes, so I'm close here. I was at 7.8. I think that's my highest for the season.
That
as
definitely
well.
At least ties it, if not your highest. For
yeah,
sure.
It was right up there because it did build up slow, right? Like it took a little while to get going, but then it did hit at the end, and I'm wanting more, dude. I was laughing out loud at this episode.
Yes.
Just like the drama.
Yes. It was so good. It was so good. And speaking of so many options, many options for Poo Poo Head of the night. I wanted to go Sheena so bad. I'm watching her bully Joe. I'm watching all this. I wanted
I think
to go
she was
Ariana.
Lying about the makeout session. I think
100%. Oh, 100%. It did not go down exactly like she said. Ariana paying $6,000 for the dog stomach. I'm sorry. $6,000 just still like bothers me. Like I got it. But the clear and far away poo-poo head of the night is someone who is telling someone they fumbled the bag 5 minutes earlier to finding that they banged their best friend for nothing more than revenge. So I am going to give Katie Maloney my poo-poo head of the night.
That's not a bad one. Mine was a toss up. It was really a coin flip between Sheena for all the reasons you said and Lala. Lala is my poo-poo head of the night because she just couldn't. It wasn't even 5 minutes before she just started spilling the, like, she's hanging out with Schwartz, and then the next
that
scene
was terrible.
Is,
that was
and
terrible.
She's playing, and she's so two-faced in all these things, and hanging out with Sandoval. And we didn't even talk about Sandoval and his breathwork thing and how weird he is. He's
now,
so over the top.
Here's what my note on that was that doesn't even require like Sandoval for that to happen. You could have inserted that scene in like season 6 and it would have fit. It would have fit.
It's so Tom.
Lala walking in and like looking at him was so fucking funny. I think that's what kept her out of your poo-poo head of the night.
Yeah.
Or no, it was. You're Lala.
She is my poo-poo head of the night. Yeah, no, but because then she's like, she went so hard on him at the reunion. Like it was James and Lala, and they were just ripping him apart. And I can understand James getting back in with him because they shared a friendship and he had an emotional attachment with Raquel and all of that. So he had a right to be more mad, where Lala was just killing him. And now she's like, oh yeah, like let's be emotional friends together. And I don't know. She's coming off real two-faced in this episode and just stirring the pot. It's the worst of Lala.
True. Worst of Lala. But it's time to get into our best of. Well, let's get into our Vanderpump Power Rankings. If you're not familiar, we rank our top five episodes from, or top five characters from the episode, 1 through 5. Fifth is 1 point. Fourth is 2 points. 3 is 3 points. Second is 4 points. First is 5 points. At the end of the season, we'll tally them up and have a Vanderpump season champion. Are you ready with your rankings, Aaron?
I am. So I'm actually giving the 5 spot to Tom Sandoval. I thought this was his best episode of the season, where there was no opportunities for him to just kind of not take responsibility. He's trying to improve. He's kind of just hanging out on the outskirts of the group. It was okay from Tom, except the breathwork stuff was weird. But again, that's peak Tom Sandoval. That's every season you could have seen that Tom Sandoval. At number 4, I've got Lisa, just because Lisa showed up. And if Lisa's there, she's getting on the board.
Yep.
At number 3, I got Schwartz, because I thought he just had a really good episode all around, trying to, you know, be in the group. And then he's now got the upper hand in this thing. I was down on him a little bit on the makeout scene, but now he's back and he's got the upper hand over Katie. Number 2, Brock. Brock had a strong episode. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Brock this year. He would be number 1 if it wasn't for James hitting an absolute classic on the whole group with the Sloppy Joe. James gets the number 1 spot because he's the number 1 guy in the group.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have the same top 5. That's just so you know, you and me and my boy Aaron being on the same page. So I won't waste too much time, but yeah, Sandoval 5. I like that we're no longer on the redemption arc. I think we're on the Sandoval arc now, which is, to be honest, it's a welcome respite. I've loved the storyline, but I'm just completely over it at this point. For Schwartz, bringing Joe in, kind of just having that gleeful, like I said, childlike innocence that's quintessential Schwartz. I love him at four there. Lisa showed up. She gets my three spot. The comment about making up with Sheena was so funny. It was actually funny, like just as funny as it is for Lisa to always be above them. It's funny when she does sink to their level. Like, that's how powerful she is. This is where we change. James at two. Again, a great episode. Hilarious. DJing all over the place. Obviously in demand, like you said, you know, or your money back. A great episode for James. But listen, when you get a standout performance like Brock had in this episode, yeah, whether it was telling Sheena to chill on the bullying of Joe early in the episode, or the late delivery of telling Schwartz what happened first. By the way, telling Schwartz what happened first, and that is like a massive move, a massive good friend move. Like, he didn't just drop it on Schwartz at the same time in all of them. So Schwartz knew what was going on and everything like that. But the way he dropped that on the table, like you said, that was Vanderpump like Vanderpump hasn't been in a minute, Scandoval or not. So I just got to give him number one. And Brock's got to get that number one for sure.
I love it. He's collecting some points this year, man. I wouldn't, if you'd asked me preseason here, I wouldn't have seen it.
Seriously. So shout out to Brock. Real quick, shout out to AQ. I told him pre-episode that we were going to make this our quickest one, and we probably made it our longest.
It might have been
just Vanderpump being Vanderpump, because this isn't the show where you bring your wife. This is the show where you bring your mistress. It's Trainwreck Rules. Everyone go have a good night now.